Today's scripture reading is from Psalms 111, verses 1 to 10. Praise the Lord. I will exalt the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you to each one who's participated this morning, and all those who are behind the scenes as well, who make Sunday mornings happen. Very grateful to our audiovisual teachers, those who prepare the flowers, and so many others as well. Thank you. So what's your earliest memory? What is your earliest memory? I can remember making snow angels at the age of 3. I can remember playing in the backyard when I was 2. I can remember holding a baby toy before I was 1. In fact, on my recent visit to the UK, I found that baby toy. Memory is vital, isn't it? It anchors us to the past. It helps us understand the present. And it gives us direction. It sets our course for the future. Memory is vital. And Remembrance Day brings this home very clearly to us. We wear poppies, the flowers that grew on the battlefields of Western Europe during the First World War. And they remind us of the sacrifice of so many to secure and preserve the freedoms that we enjoy today. We do not ever want to take their sacrifice for granted. In their sacrifice, we find inspiration to pursue freedom and justice today. At the same time, of course, we long for the day when, as Revelation teaches us, there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. For the old order of things will have passed away, and the new will have come completely in Jesus Christ. So Remembrance Day, this Remembrance Sunday, reminds us that memory is vital. So on a day like this, it is good to ask ourselves what a healthy spiritual memory is. What should we remember as followers of Jesus Christ as we go through our days? What can continue to inspire us or to encourage us and help us? What should we remember in both the good times and in the tough times? What biblical truths keep our thoughts tuned to the Lord and our hearts longing for the Lord? Cavendish Laboratory in Cambridge, England was opened in 1874. Professors at Cavendish Laboratory have made discoveries that have transformed our understanding of the world. The first electron and neutron were discovered at Cavendish. The foundations for the discovery of quantum mechanics in the 1920s were laid at Cavendish. And the groundwork behind the determination of the double structure of DNA in the 1950s was made at Cavendish Laboratory. What's interesting is that as you enter that laboratory through the great oak door, there is an inscription above the door. It's the words from Psalm 111, verse 2, the psalm that Mark just read to us. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. A reminder for scientists, for all of us, that the first mark of a spiritually healthy memory is to remember the works of the Lord. Psalm 77, verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. And Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will tell the next generation of the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders that he has done. So we can ask ourselves, what are the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord? What are the works of the Lord? Well, they are the Bible's big themes: creation, salvation, and consummation. Or to put it more simply, you are not an accident. God brought you into being. Colossians 1, verse 16 says, for by him, that's by Jesus, all things were created. Creation. Salvation. You are loved. And God has done all that is needed to give you a fresh start. Colossians 1, verses 19 to 20 say, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, this is Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The cross of Christ, you remember. And then that concept of consummation was simply, you're offered an eternal future. Colossians 3, verse 4 triumphantly declares, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The Bible's big themes: creation, salvation, and consummation. A healthy spiritual memory remembers these big themes. In fact, remembering the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord helps us during our daily lives. This past week, one thing after another piled on the pressure in my own life. There were the small inconveniences. One of the headlight bulbs in my car needed to be replaced. There was the not so small, the possibility of a costly repair. We discovered water leaking from the apartment above our apartment in Richmond. Then there were the larger stresses. My mom is struggling to settle at my sister's, and my sister is still figuring out whether she can cope or not. And then there's another stress that happened just 2 days ago. My two children wanted a dog, and so now we have a dog. But how easy it would be to let these, and the stresses that you face, the struggles that you face each week, to consume our energy, to strangle our passion, to imprison our minds. How do we cope? How do we respond? We remember the works of the Lord. We remember the big Bible themes. It's rather like ascending to a mountaintop. Only on the top of the mountain do you capture the grandeur of the horizon before you. Only from the mountaintop can you see the distance. Only from the mountaintop do you have that sense of majesty. So it is with these big Bible themes. When life is tough and the pressures are on, we go back to, we're created. God is creator. We're saved. God has saved us. We have a future because he is bringing everything to its rightful conclusion in Jesus Christ. A healthy spiritual memory remembers the works of the Lord. But it also remembers what the Lord has done for us personally. We could say that is, we recall past mercies. I think of those in the Gospel of Matthew who called out to Jesus. In Matthew 9, verse 27, it's two blind men. In Matthew 15, verse 22, it's a Canaanite woman who is desperate for her daughter to be delivered from a demon. In Matthew 17, verse 15, it's a desperate father whose demon-controlled son, probably epileptic, who falls into fire or water. In Matthew 20, verse 30, it's two more blind men outside Jericho. And the common cry from each of them is, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And Jesus answers their cry. He heals them. He restores them. He delivers them. But now imagine those same people years, years later. Maybe life is not as easy. Do you think they would forget that the Lord had freed them? Do you think those blind men would forget as they look that it was the Lord who gave them their sight? I don't think so. They would remember that the Lord answered their cry for mercy. They would recall the mercies of God. And so can we. As I look back over my life, and I'm sure as we look back over yours, there are more times than we can even begin to number when the Lord has shown us his mercy and his kindness. I could tell you of the anonymous Christian donor who generously paid for me to go to seminary in the 1980s. I could tell you of the way the Lord led me into pastoral ministry in the 1980s and early 1990s. I could tell you of when Catherine and I were driving through the Rockies in the early 2000s and we hit black ice and spun out of control. And we could have spun out of control over a cliff or in the face of two semis that were just passing by. But we didn't. I could tell you of the mercy of God bringing two children, and now we're gone, into our lives. I could tell you of God's mercy when I was overwhelmed to clear out my parents' home just a few weeks ago. And the Lord sent a Christian friend who day after day after day helped to take items to the recycling or the refuse or local Christian thrift store. I could tell you of the Christian friend who this last week invited myself and Catherine out for dinner here at Trinity. I could tell you of those who day by day show the tangible mercies of God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, during the siege of Jerusalem in the 7th century BC, when it seemed that every ounce of faith had gone and life had hit rock bottom, Jeremiah the prophet remembers God's mercy. We know these words as the hymn that we will sing at the end of this service. But in Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 23, Jeremiah says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see, even when life is tough, especially when life is tough, let us not look to our circumstances, but trust. Remember the mercies of God. It's the second mark of a healthy spiritual memory. And then we come to the third mark of a healthy spiritual memory. And in a sense, we've already hit upon it, but it is by far the brightest. Psalm 111 is a testimony to God's greatness. The third mark of a healthy spiritual memory, therefore, is to rejoice in God's salvation. The author of Psalm 111, maybe David, though we cannot be sure, cannot contain his praise. Read those words. He just has to let it go. The psalm begins, I will extol the Lord with all my heart. Where? In the council of the upright and in the assembly. The author is going to give testimony to God's greatness, God's salvation, in the context of the gathered people of God. So as I read this psalm, I like to think of a morning service here at Trinity. The worship songs have been sung. The offering has been received. The children's moment has happened. The announcements have been given. And the scripture reading is finished. We're just about to sit down and hear the sermon. When somebody at the back stands up, stands on the pew, and starts to declare the glories of God, and perhaps using even words from this psalm, is saying, "Great are the works of the Lord. Glorious and majestic are his deeds. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. He provides food for those who fear him. His works, the works of his hands are faithful and just." And all of us are looking at this person, wondering, are they going to stop? We want to hear the sermon. This is a distraction. This is an annoyance. Or maybe we think, yeah. And then just as we think this person's going to stop and sit down and we're going to return to an orderly, sedate service, this lady, or second lady, then utters words from the end of this psalm. And as she does, we all can no longer contain ourselves. For she utters words that remind us of the greatness of our salvation. She says, "He provided redemption." And suddenly we're all on the pew. We're all standing up, forgive me, stewardship committee. We're all standing on the pews, hands in the air, jumping up and down, excited and thrilled, and cannot contain ourselves because she's touched the very nerve of our Christian faith. He provided redemption. Hallelujah! I don't want to say get on the pews and say that because I'd be in trouble, but you know what I'm saying. But it touches that nerve. A healthy spiritual memory always comes back to the cross. Always comes back to the gift of God sending his own son for you and for me. For the price that he paid on the cross for our salvation. I think of the end of Romans chapter 11. For 11 chapters, the Apostle Paul has outlined the gospel. He's spoken of the lostness of humanity, destined for death. He's spoken of the wrath of God. But he's also spoken of the grace of God and the love of God, that out of God's grace and mercy, he sent his son Jesus to be the sacrifice for my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world. How Jesus has stood in our place, taken on himself our cross, died for us upon the cross. He speaks of Jesus triumphing over the grave. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can come into the very presence of God Almighty. Free, forgiven, welcome, loved. For there is no taint of sin that can condemn us, because Christ paid the price. So what is Paul's response as he goes through this? Well, in chapter 12 onwards, he will look at the application of this into our Christian life, but at the very end of Romans 11, it's as though he's now standing on the pew. His hands are in the air. He cannot contain himself. And he utters these soaring words of wonder, love, and praise. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who's ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory alone. Amen. The third mark of a healthy spiritual memory is that we never forget to rejoice in our salvation. And that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. You see, it's very practical. How often do we feel the pressure of guilt? How often do we feel we're pursued by fear? How often do we lack assurance? How often do we feel weak and ineffective? How often do we wonder if God truly forgives? How often do we listen to the condemnation of the devil and of others? And the temptation each time is to look at our own circumstances or measure our spiritual value by how much we pray or give or serve or witness. Or we compare ourselves with other Christians and either become proud or defeated. But none of these will bring hope. None of these will bring life. Instead, let's remember that we are saved by grace, that we're loved by God. One of the best-known Christian songs is "Jesus Loves Me." The song was originally composed for a novel published in 1860. In the novel, it's a story of a little boy, Johnny, who is sick and he is dying. His Sunday school teacher, named John Linden, rocks Johnny in his arms. And as he does so, Johnny asks his Sunday school teacher, John, to sing him a song. And so John sings, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Karl Barth, one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century. He was one of the first church leaders in Germany in the 1930s to refuse to accept Hitler's fascism. He possessed a brilliant mind and over 3 decades wrote his famous 12-part book, Church Dogmatics, a work that runs to some 6 million words, exploring the interrelation between faith and theology and culture. In 1962, 6 years before he died at age 82, Karl Barth gave a lecture at the University of Chicago. And at the end of the lecture, the students asked Karl Barth, this phenomenal theologian of the 20th century, what his single greatest theological reflection, experience, point, summary was. And they waited with bated breath. And Karl Barth paused, and he smiled, and he said, "The greatest theological insight I have ever had is this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Today is Remembrance Sunday. We remember the sacrifice of so many our freedoms. We remember the suffering so many trapped in conflicts today. We remember the dedicated work of peacekeepers, of leaders, of emergency personnel, of aid workers, of church members and preachers of the gospel throughout the world. And we wear our poppy with pride and with gratitude. But as we remember, let us also remember the marks of a healthy spiritual memory. We remember the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, the Bible's big themes of creation, salvation, and consummation. We remember the daily mercies of the Lord, the dramatic and the quiet ways in which the Lord shows his faithful love to us. And we remember the greatest, most glorious joy that is available to any who believes in Jesus Christ, the joy of our salvation, that God sent his Son for you and for me to pay the price upon the cross, that through his death, his resurrection, our trust in him, we have life, everlasting life, a relationship with God, forgiveness of sin, eternal hope. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I invite us to come this Remembrance Sunday weekend. I invite us to come and renew our memory. At the end of the service, there is always opportunity for any one of us to receive prayer. There are those here who will gladly pray with you. Or maybe you want to take time by yourself, quietly in the pew, and renew that spiritual memory. Remember the works of the Lord. Remember his mercies. Remember the joy of our salvation. And may the Lord bless you this weekend. Amen.